Joel, thank you so much. That's the best reading I've heard in this place for absolutely yonks. Well done. Well, do you know, after seeing that compilation of video that we put together this morning, I'm not sure you even need a message from me. Here it is at harvest, that time of year when we thank God for all his goodness, all his wonderful generosity to us. But what does that actually mean? What does it really mean? Are we actually saying to God how fortunate we are to live in one of the top 10 richest countries in the world? Are we actually saying, Lord, thank you for Asda and for Sainsbury's and for Tesco, if they're still in business today, I'm not quite sure. Are we saying thank you for IKEA, who furnish our lovely homes? Are we saying thank you for Primark and all the other organisations that keep us clothed? And it's just so easy. And you know, that is the danger, that we sit here in Fulwood and we give thanks to God that we live in one of the most prosperous countries in the world, and we simply leave it at that. And yet that video shows us the contrast that we live in all the time. We have so much food in our country that we throw it away. Do you know how many tons of edible food we throw away in our country today? 400 million tons a year. Youngsters, do you know what a wheelie bin looks like? Do you know how big a wheelie bin is? You've probably got one at home. Imagine a million wheelie bins. Imagine a million wheelie bins that are stretched out from here to the middle of Preston. Now imagine 90 million wheelie bins. That's the amount of edible food that we throw away in our country every year, whilst people across the world are suffering from hunger. The World Food Programme statistics for 2014 tell us that in the world there are 850 million hungry people. That's 1 in 9 of this world's population don't have enough to eat. 1 in 9. And in sub-Saharan Africa, the figure is 1 in 4. Every fourth person is malnourished. Worldwide, malnutrition is responsible for 3.1 million deaths in children under 5. 3.1 million under 5s. That's 8,500 a day, 350 an hour. And our service has been running for 56 minutes. You can just do the maths. And you know, the moral issues that we face are not getting easier because the world is getting smaller. The world that we live in is shrinking. In time gone by, people rarely travelled more than a few miles from their home. And so if there were hungry people nearby, they could be helped and fed. Just imagine if every ninth person on your row, just have a glance around. Maybe 30-odd people, 40-odd people this morning were hungry. We would be able so easily to reach out and do something about it. And yet the world is so huge, but the world is our neighbour nowadays. Many of us have heard of Pandavida, great work that goes on in Ecuador. Anyone know which city in Ecuador Pandavida operates in? Works in the city of Quito, massive city, right across on the western side of South America. It's 5,662 miles away from where we sit in Fulwood this morning. Pandavida feeds children and families. It has an education, a feeding program. But you can go today if you'd like. You can literally go there today. Here's a screenshot. Tonight's flight from London, 10:30. You can get on a train now. You can jump in a car, get yourself down to Heathrow. 10:30 tonight, there are seats on that plane. It'll cost you £665 to get to Quito. If you mean it, if you want to. We can do that. In fact, even easier, we can go home and press the button on our internet banking and send money around the world at a touch of a button. So we have this huge issue, and we look at it and we just say, it's so big, I think I'll just go to IKEA this morning. How does God want us to respond to the command to feed hungry people in a world where everyone is literally our neighbour? What does God want us to do as a church to make a difference to a world in need. And that's why Joel read to us this morning, read so well from Mark chapter 24, an account of a woman who met Jesus. It's a weird account. Jesus is in having a meal with a man, and suddenly a woman walks in. We don't know her name. We're not told her name. But she very curiously gets out some perfume, and she starts to squirt it onto Jesus. Have a sniff, hey, just enjoy that. It's actually yours. So, and Lisa, would you like some? This is. Would you like a squirt? Like a squirt. Smells nice. Have a sniff. See what you think. This is the good stuff, folks. Like a squirt. Whoa. Chanel Coco Mamzelle. Round about £70 a shot. All right? And that's nothing. Would you like a squirt? Just smell nice. Just have a smell. Have a little smell. And she walks in to this dinner party, and she takes an alabaster jar full of incredibly expensive perfume. We'll hear in a moment how expensive it is. And she pours it over Jesus' head. Why did she choose to do that? She could have done what she wanted with it. She could have sold it, taken the money and invested it. She could have just used it to smell great and impress her friends. But she brings it to Jesus. Do you know how much that perfume was worth? It was worth about a year's wages. The people say it's worth 300 denarii. And a denarius is what you get for working for a day in that culture. So give or take a year's wages. Let me ask you the question this morning. What would you do with a check for a year's wages? I don't know what that might be. 15,000? 20,000? 30,000? I don't know what your figure is. But a check for a year's wages. What would you do with that? Just think for a moment. I wonder what's going through your mind. Isn't the problem that so often our immediate instinct is to look after ourselves and to look after those who are close to us? We could invest that money for extra income. We could extend the house. The car's on its last legs. We could save it for the children's education. We could do so many sensible things with a year's wages. But there's nothing remotely sensible about what this lady has done for Jesus. She opens up that jar and pours the whole lot over Jesus in an act of sort of anointment. It's a sign of her complete devotion to Jesus. And people are shocked. People are shocked. They say, a year's pay? That could have been used to help the poor. And Jesus says something surprising. Jesus says, the poor will always be with you. The poor will always be with you, and you can help them any time you like. But she has done something special today. You know, Jesus cares for the poor. Jesus spent his time with the poor. He spoke such a lot about the poor and the needs of the poor. And yet, Jesus sees this woman who comes to him. And she doesn't care about possessions. She doesn't care about investing for income. She doesn't care about a house extension, fancy perfume, behaving sensibly. She just breaks the jar and pours that special stuff over Jesus. And he says, yeah, she is the one who's got her priorities right. Because what she has is surrendered and given to me. And only Jesus could say that. You see, when that woman poured that perfume over the head of Jesus, whether she knew it or not, she was anointing him in a way that was prophetic. That anointment signified that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was going to die to reconcile mankind to God. Something incredibly profound was signified by that anointing. And that's something we have to make a choice about for ourselves. Because if it is true that Jesus is the Son of God and gave his life to reconcile man to God, then that changes everything. It needs to change the way we live. It needs to change our instincts about what we do with the things that we own. Because life can never again be about just living life as well as we can, with as much as we can, until the day we die. We were born for something so much more than a sensible, middle-class existence watching the Great British Bake Off. Jesus is telling us that before we can solve the hurts and the problems of this world, we need to have an encounter with him. We need to get things straight with a God who understands everything about us and loves us and wants us to have a purpose in our lives. A God who is so amazing that knowing him can break the chains, can release us from that instinct to hold on to what we have and spend it on ourselves and those we love. It frees us up to let our thankfulness turn into generosity. Would you like to help solve the problems of the sick and the hungry and the needy and the hurting and the naked in this world? I'm sure every one of us in this room would say, yes, I'd love to be involved in that. Well, this story tells us that the starting point is to let God renew our minds, as Paul puts it, so that instead of keeping our grip on things for ourselves, we're able to release them into a world in need. And only God can do that. It may be your time, maybe your wealth, maybe your gifts and abilities that God wants to release into the world as we release our grip on them to help our neighbor next door, to help our neighbor 5,662 miles away in Quito, to bless our 850 million hungry neighbours across the world. I wonder if this Harvest Sunday, 28th of September 2014, might be a day when God breaks into your life in a new way and frees things up so that you become a child of the kingdom, able to bless a world in need. I'm going to conclude by just reading some words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 25. So challenging and yet full of such promise. Matthew 25. Jesus said, when he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be arranged before him. And he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. And the king will say to those on his right, enter you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. God's promise to you and to me. But Jesus says, here's why. Because I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. And then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you? And then the king will say, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of those things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. There's no harvest offering at Fullwood this morning. We're not taking up a gift. You can't just put a fiver in and say, whoa, I did my bit this morning. God is asking us for something much deeper than that. Let's go away from here thinking about what we can offer to God out of all the deep deep riches that he's given to each one of us. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we thank you for your wonderful goodness to us. Thank you for the daily material blessings that we enjoy. But Lord, they're so dangerous. Help us this morning to recognize the dangers of just living in comfort and living for ourselves. And will you open our eyes to the truth about Jesus? Will you come into our lives and release us into generosity as a people of God who make a difference in this world? Lord, take us away, each one, because your answer for each one of us will be different. Speak to us and lead us on, we pray. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.